Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
The ache for home lives in all of us. The safe place where we can go as we are and not be questioned. But home is often the place where the deepest pain is born. Maya Angelou. Welcome to Grimly.
I don't smell that.
I think so. Somebody stepped in it.
Maybe. Did I step in it?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. No.
No.
Have you?
No. There's no way. It just was on the concrete.
Were those that smell like a bunch of garlic?
Really?
Because I made sauce today, tomato sauce.
Oh, nice.
So I was like,
I think you only smell like garlic if you eat a ton of garlic.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you chop a ton of garlic.
You think so? I mean, your hands, but the rest of your body?
Yeah. I mean, I've washed my hands a few times today. I'm mostly a clean person.
As a person who worked in kitchens and now is married to someone who still works in kitchens, I've never used to smell like garlic. Sometimes you smell like, I don't know, fryer oil.
Which is a gross smell.
Yeah.
If you've ever worked in a restaurant that had a fryer.
Yeah, which is all restaurants.
When they clean the grease trap.
Yeah, if the grease trap is being cleaned, it smells for like blocks.
It smells like sewer.
It's really bad.
It's really bad.
I know.
It's kind of disgusting. Mm-hmm. Like, we cook food in that?
Well,
whatever that oil is from?
Yeah. I don't know the mechanics of what gets trapped in the grease trap.
I don't know either.
And actually, a lot of restaurants will fry things, but won't have a proper fryer.
True.
But a lot of restaurants have a proper fryer.
Place that did gourmet burgers, and it wasn't Red Robin. Not Red Robin.
Definitely has a fryer.
They had a fryer. And probably like, the grease trap was disgusting.
If there's a grease trap, it's gross, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I mean, I don't smell anything. I was just wondering if I was smelling like tomato sauce, but I guess I don't.
You don't.
That's good. Good to know.
But it's a good smell.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was going to smell bad, but
that's good.
Sometimes garlic in a small space is a lot.
True.
But yeah. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm mostly good. Yeah. You've been having a week from what I've
just busy.
Yeah. Heard. And then you're out of town next week.
I am.
Yeah. So trying to get as much recording in as we can.
Sneak it in.
Sneak her in. This is Grimly.
Welcome to Grimly. I'm Meg.
I am Missy. We are officially in spooky season. Cool. Are you doing okay?
Am I doing okay?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Now that summer's over.
Listen, October sucks for so many reasons for me personally, just because of like work and things, but that's unrelated to spooky season. So
okay.
I'm like mad at October right now, but
it's been lovely out weather-wise.
Weather has been good. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah. Fine with it. I'm ready for some fun stuff. I have an ankle surgery
later in a couple weeks. Yeah.
So I guess I'll just have to be slowing down towards the end of the month that I can kind of lean into
relaxing.
Candy and apple cider donuts and
soup.
Movies and shit.
Soup.
Oh, I'm on the soup train already.
Good. Yeah. Soup train is a good train to be on.
French onion soup tonight.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
See, when I think of soup, I think of a creamy, velvety type of soup.
Right. That's like a classic fall soup.
Like a butternut squash soup.
Ugh, I don't like a winter squash.
Really?
Mm-mm.
At all?
You will not see me order a butternut squash thing.
Huh.
I will tolerate it if I have to.
Didn't they make you pasta one time that had like a butternut squash?
I'll tolerate it if I have to. Like, I'll eat it. It's not always bad, but it's not my favorite. Definitely not on my on the top of my list.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a goddamn shame.
Well, it's just abnormal. Most people really like it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like quintessential fall soup for me. Yeah. Anyways.
Sorry.
I'm offended.
Her feelings were hurt from 6 years ago. Soup season. Or whatever. I don't know.
No, remember that one time, like, you and our friend, my friend Lindsay came over.
Yeah.
And I made, like, a pasta, and, like, the whole base of it was, like, butternut squash instead of, like, a pasta sauce.
I remember the afternoon, or I remember the event.
Because we went to go see Scream.
Oh, yeah. That was a fun time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fine. It was great. Mm-hmm.
Great. Perfect. This is why I don't cook for Meg.
Well, I just happen to see the one of my not super favorite flavors.
I feel like there's always random things I never know about. It's just like,
it's not like it's that big of a deal. Like I said, I'll eat it. It just probably, it won't be on my top of my list.
Okay.
And French onion soup is really about the cheese, the melted cheese anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm still thinking about that cheesy thing you made last time.
That was so good.
That was really good.
So we don't really talk about it on the podcast, but
we talked about the drippy biscuit.
Oh, did we talk about the drippy biscuit?
We said that over and over during one of the Donner Party episodes because we watched that. We had just watched that Instagram video.
So I make a meal just because we record around dinner time typically or brunch.
Yeah. And arguably, I would say your main hobby is cooking.
It's true. It's true. But I'm gonna eat anyway. So
right, when you come,
and if we're hosting at my house, then obviously if you're coming over, we're gonna eat and drink something. So, yes, last week was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just basically like a bunch of cheese melted into a puff dough that we dipped apples in.
It was delicious.
Yeah, I was not gonna be.
We a pound finished of cheese that melted. Bitch.
So good.
I don't think
yeah, I want to do yeah. that again. That was good.
We literally ate no crumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to do that again for sure. That was a good fall harvesty type of meal.
And I did talk about it a couple days later. I was like, damn, that was good last night, wasn't it? Today.
Just reminiscing about the meal.
Well, if we weren't filming in the car today, it would be French onion soup later.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, kind of a melty cheese kind of kick,
I guess. You are a melty cheese kind of girl. I mean, we all are. Let's be real.
Please.
Unless you're vegan. Sorry.
Yeah, they probably they got some stuff.
They have the vegan cheese, mm-hmm. but it doesn't really melt.
That's too bad.
It's a weird consistency.
That's too damn bad.
Yeah. You know what? Props to vegans. They're trying.
Yeah. What are we talking about today? That's not food related.
So today, I think I said last week that this story, I think, will be the scariest one.
Okay.
That we talk about during our spooky season stories. Because I think you said, I want to be scared.
Yeah.
I think this one will scare you.
Okay.
It scared me. It is, I'm not going to give you any details because I just kind of want to we're just going to jump in. It plays like a scary movie. I will say that right
okay.
now. It is a true story though.
Sorry, I keep making this noise with my mic.
I can't hear it.
You can?
You can.
It's the lot of, we're handling the mics.
We are going to start in Pepperell, Massachusetts.
Okay, it's already spooky to me. Massachusetts feels like an anciently spooky place.
I mean, Salem Witch Trials is a big part of that for sure.
I went to Salem.
You did last year?
I want to say it was fucking last year, but who knows what time is now.
I think it was last October.
Halloween time.
Yeah, I remember being very jealous that you got to go.
It was cool. We were looking at the photos of it today. Somebody reshared them. It was pretty badass.
Yeah, sounds really badass.
Would go again.
Well, we should go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're starting in Massachusetts in the late 1980s. Specifically 87, 88. Our origin years.
Love it.
This is an 80s story. This one definitely feels like it's for you. So you're starting in the home of the Andrews family.
All right.
The Andrews family consists of the dad, Brian, and his two daughters, Annie, who is 15, and Jessica, who is 9. They had recently lost their mother suddenly to cancer.
Oh.
And then on top of that, the dad, Brian, was now having to work more hours and longer shifts because he was now the sole breadwinner of the home.
Oh, that's so stressful.
So, yeah, rough time. trying to figure everything out, trying to adjust.
It's a good case for life insurance policies.
Totally.
I wonder, like, if cancer...
counts? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Disrupts that. It shouldn't. There should be nothing other than murder, of course. That,
yeah,
like
if you're the person that murdered
getting...
the person. Yeah.
Of course. But, right, you're right. That's a good clarification.
Yeah.
but, like, yes. Anyway, that's too bad for
it is
for
too
them.
Bad. It's too bad. And, you know, I mean, they're... seems like they were pretty young and it was a very sudden case. And this was probably a time when you couldn't get health or not health insurance, actually probably health insurance and life insurance if you had some sort of pre-existing condition.
Right. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. If you watch the vice presidential debate last night, that was a big topic they talked about.
We watched a little bit of it. I worked until
very
some,
late
through some portion of it. And then I watched maybe 15 minutes or so. I clocked the pink tie as a... wink, wink to the ladies.
Hi, ladies. Yes, I'm not pleased.
You're going to have to do a little better than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Since Brian is now working longer shifts, Annie and Jessica are home alone a lot now. And they start to really miss their mom. And one night, they decide to take out a Ouija board and try to contact their mother.
Dude, I am never going to fuck with a Ouija board.
Have you ever fucked with a Ouija board?
No, and I won't.
I did, for sure, when I was little.
That's how it starts.
Yeah. It's made by, like, the same company that makes Monopoly.
Yeah.
I mean.
I think it's mostly harmless, but sometimes, I don't
sometimes
know.
Sometimes you can fuck some shit up, for sure. Mm. They do a seance thinking that nothing is really going to happen, but for it to be more of like a...
Wait, they do a seance?
Yeah, they're going to do a seance.
They're doing a seance and they're using a Ouija board?
Uh-huh.
Okay, we've stepped it up a notch.
They've stepped up. This is like... 80s too. I feel like this was very popular during this era.
That's true. But yeah, I guess so.
Because I think there was like a resurgence of Ouija
maybe
boards
they, like,
and like spiritualism.
Wanted to talk to their mom or something.
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm gonna cry.
They want to talk to their mom and I don't think they think that anything really is gonna happen, but I feel like it's kind of a cathartic experience. To maybe just think about their mom and like just try it out and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
The girls, they hold the seance, nothing happens. Brian then comes home from work, so the girls pack everything up and head off to bed and do not mention their seance to their dad.
Sure.
So later that night, when the girls are in their respective bedrooms, they both start to hear tapping in the walls.
Okay.
Jessica's freaked out and runs into Annie's room, wondering if the tapping was maybe their mom trying to contact them.
Oh.
Cause it's like a noticeable tap.
Wow.
And like sometimes they would hear like tapping on like pipes and stuff.
Okay.
It's not just like the house settling or something. It's like a very distinct, like something is tapping.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Type of tapping. So the girls are excited by this and they stay up listening to the tapping sounds and they're just kind of like talk about memories of their mother. It's just kind of just like a very cathartic experience the entire night itself. And like the tapping, I think, just added to it. They're like, if this is mom, this is really cool. Let's talk about mom, you know? However, after a few weeks, the tapping sounds start to get more frequent, and they only happen when Annie and Jessica are around.
Okay.
Well, and they're like
they
tapping
that?
In the walls, tapping against the pipes.
Okay.
The tapping also happens when they're trying to go to sleep, too. So it's almost like an inconvenient time when the tapping starts.
That's annoying.
So the girls keep trying to show Brian the tapping sounds when they're happening. But every time they, like, pull him into a room...
It stops. Oh, okay.
And he's like, what are you two fucking doing?
You know? It's not like you can just whip a phone out and record it.
Right,
back in
the 80s. This is the 80s. So the girls are also starting to feel like these tapping sounds in the walls are maybe more malicious than when they had first heard them originally. And they're starting to wonder if maybe they had contacted something else instead of their mom that they shouldn't have with the Ouija board. Like you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fuck around with the Ouija board.
Mm.
The girls also started to notice that the furniture was being moved around slightly in the house. And also pieces of clothing and like other little like trinkets and stuff started going missing.
Mm.
So they're like, okay, this seems weird. I don't think our mom would do this type of stuff. And so they're starting to get a little freaked out.
Mm.
Jessica and Annie try to talk to their dad, Brian, about this stuff. But Brian doesn't believe them. He thinks this is all just a weird way of grieving for their mom and that they want to believe that the girls, like, they just want to believe that she's still here.
That makes sense, yeah.
grief is weird. It does weird things to you. So, I mean, it just seems like maybe they are grieving weirdly is what he's thinking. Mm-hmm. But the girls are trying to convince Brian that they think this is something evil. And he just doesn't believe them.
Right. We made quite a jump.
And he is also starting to believe that maybe they need to go to a therapist to deal with their trauma of dealing with their mom.
How old are they?
Passing away. 15 and 9.
They should probably be in therapy.
I would argue therapy is always just a good call. He probably should be in therapy too. Let's be real. True.
He probably doesn't have time.
Probably doesn't have the time. Right. We're going into January 1987.
Okay.
Was that the year you were born or you were 88?
88.
Okay. Annie and Jessica are home alone and they hear the tapping sounds again. This time it's coming from the basement, which is always a bad call. Right.
I don't want to go down into the basement.
So Annie and Jessica, being better bitches than we are, decide to grab a kitchen knife. Annie grabs a kitchen knife and they go down to the basement and see if they can find the source of the tapping.
Okay. Damn.
Stupid, brave, I don't know. Maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah, there's no amount of money that someone could pay me to do that.
It seems like a stupid teenager thing where I remember you try to freak each other out, like in a sleepover or something. You like hear like a weird noise. You're like, oh, go check it. And you like push one person out and, you know, stuff like that. Seems like dumb teenage girl stuff. As soon as they get down to the basement, though, the tapping stops once again. But this time, when they turn around in the basement to go back upstairs, there is a message written on the basement wall that says, I'm in your room. Come and find me.
Written with what?
It looks like it has been written in blood.
No fucking way. Not possible.
Anyways, so the message looks like it has been written in blood.
I don't like that at all.
Me either.
I also don't believe that, but go on. I mean, it's just, that is fucking insane.
The girls are obviously freaked the fuck out. And they run out of the house to the neighbors.
Okay, smart. Now I'm like, okay, that is gives it some credence.
Yeah. And they ask if they can just, like, stay with neighbors until the dad gets home. And the neighbors are like, yes, of course, that's fine.
Okay. Anyways, all right, well, so they run to the neighbor's house.
They run to the neighbor's house. And the neighbors are like, yes, you can stay here. That's fine. We'll wait for your dad to get home. They don't really elaborate on, like, why they're freaked out. But, you know, they're still, like, they're kids. And, you know, it's late. And they're probably just a little freaked out. And the neighbors are like, yeah, that's fine. We don't care. Brian gets home. The girls come back from the neighbors and tell him what happened. Brian goes down to the basement to investigate. He sees the writing is actually in tomato sauce.
Oh.
Which, I forgot about this, and I think these stories are, like, getting into my gray matter in a weird way because I made tomato sauce today.
Yeah.
Like,
I was like, why are we talking about tomato sauce again?
It's, yeah.
Okay. It was written in tomato sauce.
Yes.
Okay.
So he doesn't believe Annie and Jessica, and he basically thinks they wrote it on the wall.
Okay, reasonable.
And that they're making the story up.
I would think the same thing.
And they're
thing.
Being dramatic.
I would. I would think it's like you're after attention. I'll give you the attention.
Yeah.
But a ghost didn't write, I'm in your room, come find me, in tomato sauce on the basement wall.
Yeah.
Ghosts don't have fingers.
They have spooky mittens.
All right.
Brian finally puts the girls into grief counseling.
Good.
Thinking it will help with this story about a ghost in their house. Because he believes that they're making it all up. Like you just said, it could be like a grasp for attention. Who knows, right? And for a few weeks, everything is pretty calm in the Andrew house. Until a few weeks later, in the end of January 1987, the tapping in the walls starts again. Once again, the girls are home alone when they hear the tapping. Annie again grabs a kitchen knife with Jessica in tow, and they try to find the source of the tapping again. The tapping sounds like it's coming from Annie's room this time. When they open the door to Annie's room, another tomato sauce message is on the wall, and it says, I'm back. Come and find me.
Okay.
Once again, the girls get the fuck out of the house and go to the same neighbor as before.
Mm.
And this time they explain to the neighbor more of what's going on.
Okay.
They're like, we're freaked out because of this. There's this weird message. There was a message before. We don't know what's going on. They're freaked. So the neighbor then calls Brian not to tell, and then just be like, hey, like, your daughter's really freaked out. This is what they said. I don't know if you should come home, but here's what's happening. Brian leaves work. He's annoyed.
Yeah.
He comes home.
This shit again.
He walks over to the neighbor's house, tells the girls, he's like, what the fuck is going on this time? You know, I thought we were over this. It's been a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. I thought this was done. But he basically is like, okay. He's like, I'm annoyed. Stay here. I'm going to go look at the house. He walks over, gets inside the house, and it's ransacked. Shit is just strewn about. Drawers are open. Cabinets are open. Things are thrown all over the ground. Furniture's flipped. It's a big fucking mess.
Okay.
So Brian's now freaked out.
Oh, really? So he's like, wait, this is weird.
Because he doesn't think his girls would do this.
Got it. Okay. He's and like, if they're reasonably freaked.
If they're reasonably freaked, he's like, okay.
That's odd.
This doesn't feel like girls looking for attention. They also didn't tell him that the house was ransacked.
Oh, so he's seeing that for the first time.
Yeah, so he's kind of seeing this for the first time, too. He's like actively, he's like, okay, this is not my daughter's looking for attention. Shit has been ransacked. This is a bigger thing than what was happening before.
Okay.
So he's on high alert. Brian goes up to Annie's room to look at the message the girls told him about. And he sees another message on Annie's wall. It says, marry me.
Huh.
Brian is standing in Annie's room when he realizes he's not the only person in there.
Okay.
Standing in the corner is a teenage boy. Wearing a blonde wig and a wedding dress, specifically Brian's dead wife's wedding dress.
Oh, so he sees a boy.
And the boy's holding a hatchet.
What the fuck? Is this a real boy? This isn't just a vision?
Okay. Like Peter Pan.
Sorry. Pinocchio. I'm a real boy. I'm just like, is this just like a vision of something, or is there a real? Okay,
it's a real boy.
Oh, that is spooky as fuck.
When Brian locks eyes with this boy, he sprints away.
He runs away.
Brian tries to catch him.
Oh, the boy runs away. I thought dad ran away.
Yeah. I mean, I was
like,
Brian.
Listen, you know, not the move I would choose, but like. Okay.
I would be like a Wile E. Coyote cartoon fucking outline in like clouds
running away.
Roadrunner, not Wile E. Coyote.
I mean, certainly so would I, but I would like to imagine that my father wouldn't have ran away from the man with the hatchet and the wig.
In my daughter's room.
No, my dad would have gone
wearing my wife's wedding dress.
Oh, God.
It's a scary
scary. He's been in there for like. Okay, isn't there a name? Fuck, I'm going to have to Google this. There is a name for the phenomena or the thing that happens where people live in your house and you don't know about them. First of all, they made a whole movie about it called Parasite.
But there's a couple.
There's a name for that.
Is it a squatters?
No, I'm going to have to look that up. It's called something.
So, Brian locks eyes. Boy sprints away. Brian tries to catch the boy. He loses the boy somewhere in the neighborhood.
Okay. And he's wearing a dress and a wig?
Yeah.
Okay, well, somebody must have seen him.
In a wig with a hatchet.
God. All right.
Brian calls the police. He, like, runs to the neighbors, calls the police. He's freaking out. The daughters are like, fucking told you, bitch.
Dude. Oh, my God. Okay, he's probably harmless because... Well, harmless is the wrong word.
Harmless is not the right word.
Okay, go on.
So, Brian calls...
Do something stupid. Stop me right now. Okay, go on.
Okay. So, Brian calls the police. They come back to the home, the Andrew home. They search the house. That's when they find a crawl space in Annie's bedroom behind a dresser.
Okay, explains the tapping.
In the crawl space, they like move the dresser, open the crawl space. They find a teenage boy. He came back.
Oh, wow. He did like a run around the block?
Pretty much.
Did he live there now?
Yeah, kind of. They find this teenage boy in the crawl space.
What an idiot.
Brian recognizes him instantly. As the boy with the hatchet in the wedding dress. And Annie recognizes the boy because she had met him under weird circumstances 2 months prior.
Oh my God.
2 months before the crawl space and the tapping sounds. And when the girls are home by themselves, because Brian's at work a lot, 50-year-old Annie starts getting phone calls from a boy in school named Daniel.
Okay.
Annie was very giddy about this because this is probably the first time that she's been like had a boy interested in her, right? It's like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
you know. So Daniel told her that they had a mutual friend who had given him her number because he thought she was cute. So they started talking almost every day.
Honestly, did you have those relationships, those phone call relationships with boys at that age?
I had a couple where I would like try to like talk to boys on the phone. Honestly, it was usually me calling though.
Oh.
Sadly.
I had them. Those were the days.
The anticipation.
Eventually
like,
it was.
Hoping. Just the, like just hoping their mother or their father doesn't answer the phone.
Eventually it was, it became like AIM.
Yeah. Yeah.
AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah.
Facebook. They didn't do MySpace. Messenger. Yeah, MySpace.
Yeah,
eventually.
MySpace as Messenger.
Yeah.
Daniel had described himself as tall, blonde, and athletic. Okay. So Annie's like, ding, ding, ding.
Wait, she's never met him.
She's never met him. Huh. So he's like, we have a mutual friend. I thought you were cute. He gave me your number. Okay. So I'm now calling you.
Okay. She's being stalked. I mean, 100.
This is 80s. So it's not the true crime girlies haven't really popped up yet as they do now. Right.
Okay, Jesus. All right, go on. It's terrifying.
So, after he's describing himself as tall, blonde, athletic, and talking for a while, he asks Annie if they want to go out on a date. Mm-hmm. Annie's ecstatic. She's like, fuck yes. Do the thing. Ring that bell. Sorry, she's 15. Shouldn't say that.
Is that a sex?
I think it's a sex window? Thing.
Ring my bell?
Yeah.
Can ring my bell.
Isn't that a sex thing?
I never thought about it. Didn't know. But sure.
Make it a sex thing in my brain.
No, it tracks.
You know, we're talking about 15-year-olds, so we shouldn't.
No.
Yeah. So she says yes, and the plan is to go to the fair together in a week. Mm. We're like, fair's coming to town. It's a very cute teenage
Honestly,
date.
Yeah.
Wholesome, very sweet. Mm-hmm. So a week later, Annie opens the door for her date. To who she thinks is going to be Chris Hemsworth, I'm assuming.
Okay.
Tall, sure. Blonde, athletic. Mm-hmm. But instead is a boy with dark hair. He is very unkempt and has like bad hygiene.
Ew. Why did he lie about the hair color?
I don't know. That's
it wouldn't have
point.
Mattered that much.
No. So Annie's disappointed. She's like, okay. Well, you're not the guy I was imagining, because you're not the guy that you fucking described yourself as. But she decides that she should still go on the date, because they had been talking a lot, mm-hmm. and she liked their conversations.
Yeah.
So she was like, okay, like, don't be superficial. Let's go to the fair.
Okay.
Which, honestly, I don't know if it's smart, but I will give her props.
Did Dad not know about any of this?
Dad was there.
Okay, so he was like, oh.
I don't think she probably like described the whole situation. Like, oh
no,
yeah,
he
he's
knew
tall,
she was
blonde,
going on
athletic.
The date.
Yeah, he knew she was going on a
okay,
date.
Okay, all right.
She's basically like, fuck it, we can go still.
Sure. Maybe there's a level of like, now he's standing in front of me and I'm committed to this and I'm going to be polite. Even
yeah,
I'm
the politeness is definitely sometimes mm-hmm. very hard for women mm-hmm. to deal with, yeah. for sure. During the date, everything is going mostly fine, but it's not until Annie brings up her mother's recent death that Daniel starts to get fucking weird.
Okay.
He starts asking her very inappropriate questions about the whole thing, like, how did you feel the moment your mother died?
It's very specific.
It's very specific and very weird and creepy. Mm-hmm. Granted, like, this still, like, happened, like, months before.
How did you feel the moment your mother died?
Yeah. And how badly did she suffer until she died?
Whoa.
Weird, creepy, fucking questions.
Oh my god.
Like, just, you don't ask people these questions, right? Like,
you don't ask someone you don't know well these questions, like,
right?
And I might phrase it differently even if I wondered some of those things.
Absolutely. It's just, it's fucking weird.
Okay.
So after these questions start happening, and he's like, you know what, I'm cutting this date short. We're
I've
done.
Had enough.
Like,
I've had enough.
I've seen enough.
I needed to
yes.
see.
And she also tells Daniel that them talking is done too. She's like,
oh.
She's like, no, I'm not doing this.
Okay.
Which,
yeah, good for
good
her.
For her. She's mm-hmm. 15. Like, I gotta give her props. Mm-hmm. So Daniel takes her home without issue, and the situation is put to bed. Or so Annie thinks.
Yeah, okay.
Turns out that Daniel and Annie didn't have mutual friend, but instead he had been breaking into the Andrew family home and saw pictures of Annie, became obsessed with her, and then found the house number somewhere in the house and started calling her.
Damn.
With this elaborate story about having a mutual friend and essentially looking like Chris Hemsworth.
Jesus.
And once they met in person and the date didn't go well, Daniel decided to break into the Andrews' home again, enter the crawl space, and begins watching Annie and the rest of the family from inside the walls.
Oh my God.
Inside the crawl space, police find a sleeping bag, cans of beer, pieces of the family's clothing that had gone missing, wrappers for food, other random little trinkets that had gone missing around the house.
Oh my God. What are the chances that they did the, like, seance thing?
It's so fucking weird and creepy. He probably, like, watched it.
I know, but, like, what are the chances they would do that? And then he was like, oh, perfect opportunity.
For me to start fucking with you through the
and
walls.
So I can, yes. Okay.
It was determined that Daniel was probably living inside the Andrew home for the 2 months since this horrible date with Annie.
Where are his own parents?
Oh, we'll get into that.
So, this is crazy.
Daniel had also been able to create peepholes in every part of the Andrews' home. So he was watching them constantly.
Yeah.
Gross. Just the violation of privacy in your own home is one of the scariest things.
I'm trying not to, like, wonder what the fuck dad is doing, because, you know, there's a lot going on. But I'm like, how did this person even get in your house?
He's gone constantly.
This is why I'm obsessed with the doors being locked.
And you have cameras.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because now, like, I mean, even with your house, that you couldn't do that.
Well, there is an attic. And sometimes I hear things and I'm like, could somebody have been up there somehow? I don't think so, but it crosses my mind. It happens.
Yeah, it happens. Clearly.
Okay, go on.
So we're going to get into a little bit of background of Daniel. Born May 15th, 1970, in Townsend, Massachusetts, Daniel's upbringing was pretty traumatic. He had suffered sexual and mental abuse from both his father and his stepfather on a regular basis. So his mom really knows how to choose him. So Daniel lived with his mother and stepfather where he was getting neglected, including not making sure he was bathing or taking care of himself.
Terrible.
Hygiene-wise.
Maybe he was not bathing himself, so his fucking sick fuck stepfather would leave him alone.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, for sure. And it's just the lack of, you know, self-worth and confidence that comes with that type of stuff, too, is really fucking horrific and sad.
Mm-hmm.
So this also led to Daniel being bullied a lot in high school.
Yeah.
He was also dyslexic, so he struggled during his studies. Teachers had suggested to his mother that he see a psychiatrist, and his mom was like, okay. And he was diagnosed with something called hyperactive disorder, which I think is probably like OG ADD, ADHD.
Okay. Oh, sure. Okay.
However, these sessions with the psychiatrist ended up doing more harm than good because the psychiatrist also started sexually abusing Daniel.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Just fucking the worst hand as like a teenager.
That's trash.
It's horrific.
Wait, was it a man or a woman? Do we know?
A man.
Jesus.
Yeah, so three adult men in his life.
I knew it was a man. But I was like, unlikely to be a woman.
It happens. It happens.
It does.
It does, yeah.
Pedos come in all shapes and sizes.
For sure.
Mostly the male shape and size, though.
Yeah, mostly.
Mostly. Sorry, y'all.
Sorry. We like our guys. For your listeners, you're great. Just don't be trash.
It's just
okay?
Facts. I'm sorry.
It is facts. Like, I know. I feel bad. Like, we know some tons of lovely men in our lives. They're great. We love them. Sorry. We're not trying to bash men.
Yeah, but
constantly.
I won't trust them around my children. Like, no offense.
Jesus. Like,
Well, good thing we're not having children.
No sleepovers.
Sorry.
So by age 14, Daniel starts breaking into people's homes and stealing valuables. And by 15, he wasn't only breaking in, but he decided to make it very obvious that someone had broken into the home.
Oh, he's on. Yeah. Okay.
So he's like slightly moving furniture. He's leaving a glass of water or food out and like eating some of it and making it look like someone was there.
He was definitely on a journey to murder if somebody hadn't caught him.
This was because he liked the idea of people feeling scared and paranoid in their own home.
Yeah, it's tormenting.
Tormenting people. So after Daniel was arrested for all of the shit he did at the Andrew home, he is only 17. At the time, so he is sent to juvenile detention facility for 10 months.
Okay.
In October of 1987, Daniel was moved out of the juvenile detention facility because he was going to be tried for all these crimes as an adult.
Okay.
Because he was being tried as an adult, this means that he can be let out before his trial on bail. His mother pays for his bail. So then Daniel goes home with his mother and stepfather.
All right.
On December 11th, 1987, Daniel was set to go to court for the crap he pulled at the Andrew home. But before this court date, he breaks into another person's home and steals their .22 caliber pistols in late November. Whether or not he had a plan for these pistols is unknown, but this theft will have some deadly and tragic consequences.
Okay.
Trigger warning, this is where shit gets bad.
Okay.
Worse, I guess.
Yeah. Depends on your definition of bad.
Pretty
unpleasant.
Unpleasant, yes. December 1st, 1987. Daniel walks about a half a mile from his mother's home to the Gustafson family house.
Okay, it's a new family.
The family consists of a 33-year-old Priscilla, her husband 34, who's Andrew, their two kids, 7-year-old Abigail and 5-year-old William.
It's a young family.
It's a very young family. Priscilla was also pregnant with their third child.
Okay.
So Priscilla was a stay-at-home mom who was very active with her community church. William is an attorney.
Wow.
The family is very much traditional and wholesome American family. That's Priscilla, Abigail, and William.
Oh my God, they are like quintessential 80s.
Yes, it's very much an 80s family.
Like Northeast.
Yeah, yeah. This day on December 1st, Daniel enters the Gustafson house.
How is he getting into... Lock your doors.
Lock your fucking doors.
Why is he just getting into people's houses?
Because this is like a small town in Massachusetts. It's nowhere near Boston or Salem. It's a small town. No one's locking their fucking doors. It's okay. The 80s.
Sure. All right.
So Priscilla and William are home while Andrew is at work and Abigail is at school.
Okay.
The timeline of what exactly happens is unknown, but once entering the home, Daniel takes Priscilla to the master bedroom where he sexually assaults her.
Holy shit.
He then takes the stolen .22 pistol with a pillow, places it over Priscilla's head, and shoots her twice.
Oh my God.
He then goes to 5-year-old William's room, grabs him, takes him to the upstairs bathroom, and drowns him in the bathtub.
Holy shit.
This is a fucking 17-year-old.
Oh my God. And this is a family that he's...
He has no affiliation with, no attachment, nothing.
I wonder if he had been stalking them also.
I know. He just like walked a half a mile to sight on this house. This is what it seems like.
Oh God.
7-year-old Abigail gets off the bus from school and takes the short walk home.
Oh my God. I want to cry. There's nothing there to defend her. She's like a fucking sitting duck.
Daniel's still in the house, so he grabs her and drowns her in the downstairs bathtub.
Holy shit.
It's not good. I'm laughing because it's uncomfortable.
Oh my God. Okay.
Andrew comes home, the dad, a little after 5. He opens the door to an eerily quiet home.
Yeah.
He walks upstairs to the bedroom where he finds Priscilla. He runs out of the house to call 911 and he says he doesn't want to find his kids.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
When police arrive, they find Abigail and William.
Wait.
Sorry. Yes.
That's so wild. I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
But that's interesting.
I think because the home is quiet and he found Priscilla.
He's like, I don't even want to see it. I'm too scared. I can't face it.
Yeah.
I would want to.
I don't. That's an interesting though.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's very interesting.
When police arrive, they find Abigail and William.
Oh my God.
They're both deceased in the bathtubs. They also find a .22 caliber bullet casing, semen on the bed in the master bedroom, shoe prints outside in the flower beds, and an unopened can of beer. Daniel is quickly put on the main suspect list because of the proximity to the home, because remember I said it was only half a mile away, and the fact that he'd been caught before breaking into houses in the area.
And the beer.
And the beer. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. It just, like, yeah. And, like, I mean, he had been arrested almost a year before for the crawl space incident, but, like,
okay.
Police gotta know who this kid is, right?
Wow.
Police find Daniel at the library and question him. He says he has nothing to do with what happened at the Gustafson house, and he says he was home and then went to a niece's birthday party. He is initially let go.
Okay.
Later that day, police go to the LaPlante house, which is Daniel's house, to question Daniel again and try to double-check his alibi. Daniel is sitting on the front of the house on the steps. When he sees the police, he sprints off into the nearby woods. The LaPlante home is searched while Daniel is also being searched for.
Mm-hmm.
And inside Daniel's room, they find a .22 caliber bullet casing. And they also find Converse that match the shoe prints that were found outside of the Gustafson home.
Mm.
Police also find a pair of wet gloves that were believed they were used to drown the children.
The kids.
Yeah, drown the kids. There was also a sock found with saliva on it, which was Priscilla's saliva.
Oh, he gagged her with it?
He gagged her with it, yes. Fibers are also found that match the fibers found in the Gustafson home.
Ooh.
Because DNA is not a thing at this time, right?
Sheesh.
And there were also items that were missing from the Gustafson home found in Daniel's bedroom.
Oh, the whole thing makes me want to puke. It's so bad.
It's just, like, such an obvious crime.
Mm.
And, like, why?
Yeah.
This, there's to me, no is, like, the hurt people.
Yeah.
Thing.
I guess so, yeah.
Because, I mean... Mm-hmm. He had been abused for so long. I don't know. Like, it's not an excuse by any means. Like, what he did is fucking horrific. But, mm-hmm. like, we gotta, I don't know, figure something out. A manhunt is now on for Daniel. Over 50 police are searching for Daniel, along with dogs and helicopters. It's like a full-on, they're like, this kid just killed a pregnant woman and two children. Like, we need to find him. During this time evading police, Daniel kidnaps another woman and tells her to drive him in her van. But she's able to escape, thankfully. And she contacts police.
I'm driving us right the fuck into a tree.
Exactly.
I'm not going anywhere with you.
I always think about that. Like, there's always those scenarios of movies and TV shows and stuff.
Off this bridge.
I'm being fucking erratic.
I'm not.
There's always that thing, never let them take you second location, too. Like, yeah, I'm driving into a tree. I'm going to crash into
a
car.
You can shoot me right here and then take the car. I'm not going with
you.
Yeah,
I'm going to rear end somebody.
It's not going the way you want it to go.
No.
Absolutely,
like,
not.
Fucking try me, bitch. And, I mean, it sounds like she kind of was like, fucking try me, bitch, because she was able to escape him, which is great.
So lucky.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, seriously. On December 3rd, Daniel was caught by police in Iowa. So he got, like, a little bit out of there. He was found hiding behind a dumpster in a lumber yard. Daniel is charged with the murders of Priscilla, Abigail, and William, along with the crimes he committed while on the run, so, like, the kidnapping, and for what he did at the Andrew household.
Yikes.
This is a fucking...
Spree.
Mm. And someone who is even 19.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
dangerous, very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, that's just wild to me. Like, this kid has, like, committed so many horrendous crimes, and he's still just, like, a kid.
Well, that's the thing. It's, like, I think about this a lot, because when you listen to enough true crime or you, like, learn about it, the ones that are really dangerous like that usually are younger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, you cannot really reason with some... Like, their brain isn't even fully developed.
No, their brain's not fully formed. Yeah, it's full, like,
it's
a goo.
More scary. Okay, so, like, maybe we've talked about this before. There's, like, the Kia boys or whatever. I've talked about this with friends. Okay, so the Kia boys.
Oh, we have talked about this. Yes.
Yeah, where it's, like...
They're just, like, stealing cars and, like...
Stealing cars and, like, doing bad kid shit. But they were robbing people and holding people at gunpoint over stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, that's, like, a 13, 14-year-old kid. Like, these are young kids.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, is, like, that to me is a little more terrifying than a grizzled 40-year-old man, because they don't even understand the gravity of the situation
and
that
they're impulsive.
In. Exactly.
Yeah.
Situation I'm in. I don't think the sanctity of life.
Yeah,
matters.
Absolutely. Yeah, you think you're invincible at that age.
Yeah, that would be truly terrifying.
Yeah, I think about I wasn't anywhere near a bad kid, but I did dumb shit when I was a teenager. Like, I ran down a bowling alley and stole a bowling pin. That was probably the extent of it. But, you know, it's not a comparison. But, like I had, a weird, klepto phase. Like, I would steal, random nonsensical stuff from, restaurants. Or, I stole, a Christmas ornament at one point. Statue of limitations.
Confessing crimes.
You can't arrest me, motherfuckers. Try me. But, you know, just, you do stupid, weird shit because you're just trying to figure life out. You're, pushing boundaries. You're testing stuff. You're impulsive. You're stupid. Emphasis on the stupid. But
yeah, I'd be very terrified.
Yeah.
All right, so they catch him.
He's
arrested.
Yes.
And charged.
So, in October of 1988... Daniel's trial begins. He is now 18. 18.
Yeah.
He's done all this stuff.
Well, bye.
Yeah, he's being charged as an adult for all of these crimes, even though he technically committed all of them as a minor.
Okay.
So, but they're like, no, you're...
I know, it's interesting how they get to make those decisions. I don't know how that works, but...
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there are some cases I'm like, that seems really harsh. But cases like this, I'm like, no. Like, you can't put this kid away for... 16 months or something.
That's true.
Like, this is a kid that is dangerous. As
Definitely.
Hard as it is to say, because he obviously lived a very hard life and, had some really bad traumatic things happen to him, but your trauma doesn't negate the things you do.
No.
Right?
No, but his mama
can
rot in hail.
Yeah, seriously. It's one of those things, too, is do we hold abusers accountable when... the people they abuse do really bad shit like this.
I don't know. We're just barely starting to think about holding parents
accountable for school
shootings
and stuff.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I feel like...
No, I don't think you can.
Because I was like, I meant to look into
But she can go fuck herself.
Yeah. I'm talking about this father, stepfather, and the psychiatrist.
Okay, but you're his mother.
Yeah. Truly. The fact that she just stood by.
Yeah, she could be a victim too, but still.
She could be a victim too, but...
Somebody's mom.
It's somebody, you're somebody's mom. You have a responsibility to the person you're raising, right? Anyways, sorry.
Trash.
Back to what I'm talking about, yes. So Daniel pleads not guilty to all charges and then has a psych evaluation done and is deemed fit to go on trial.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like I said, trauma doesn't mean you're not sane, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately. So at the end of the trial, the jury deliberates for 5 hours, and Daniel is found guilty on all charges and given 3 consecutive life sentences. In 2017, Daniel tried to appeal his conviction because in that year, the Supreme Court ruled that juveniles could not be given a life sentence without the possibility of parole.
Okay.
Which I kind of get.
Sure. I think that's reasonable. It doesn't mean he's getting out.
It's just circumstances... it's hard to...
It means he has the possibility
extreme...
of parole. It doesn't mean it means
right,
anything.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
I think he should be entitled to that.
Yeah. And there's this whole thing about him kind of being insufferable multiple times in prison. There was a point where he said that he was fearing for his life, so he wanted to be, separated from all the other inmates. And so they do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was saying his civil rights were being... Violated, thank you. Because he wasn't allowed access to the library. And they're like, there's other inmates in the library. You wanted to be separated, so we separated you. What do you want us to fucking do here?
Clear the library out so he can go to the library? That's what he wants?
I think.
Hmm.
It just seems like he's just being annoying to be annoying. And then, at one point, he becomes Wiccan.
Okay.
Which, I feel like Wiccans would be like, we don't want you.
Yeah, I don't think it's incongruent. With his behavior.
Yeah. Wiccans are,
live and let live and...
Yeah, we also, worship the earth and, what she provides. this doesn't seem like a type of person that worships the earth, right?
But he was saying that also, once again, his civil rights were being violated because they weren't giving him the materials he needed to practice his Wiccan traditions. Like
candles?
Candles, dragon's blood, I think was another one of them. I think dragon's blood is just like a word for something very common.
Oh, okay.
Like weird stuff. Like they weren't giving him like sage and, you know, stuff like that to like practice his Wiccan.
They're not, they're not indulging him. I get it. Yeah,
they're not indulging him, which I don't know. Like, I don't want to be like the person be like, fuck all prisoners. Like, don't give them anything.
Yeah, but not everybody's religion needs potions and stuff. I don't know what to say. Like,
that's a hobby. Tell you. Like, it's and like some of it are some of the things he probably can't have in prison, right?
Yes, because you murdered people.
Yeah. You were here because you're responsible for your own fucking actions, you dumb fuck. So Daniel tried to fight that his sentences should be served concurrently and not consecutively. Because he was a juvenile.
Okay, what's life one time or three times?
90 years versus 30 years. That's what it means.
Wait, 30-year sentence isn't a life sentence?
What is a life sentence? I thought a life sentence was like...
In some countries, it's like in Canada, I think it's like 25 or something.
Oh, I thought it was like a semi-years.
I don't think so.
Oh, you don't think so? I thought it was.
I don't think so here. I should ask my...
That's a good question.
Lawyer sister she's not a lawyer, but she's close.
Yeah. Paralegal. Right?
She was.
She was, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hi, Gabby.
Not a criminal law, though, so I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like a life sentence, sometimes they, like, give out life sentences, like, this is 163 years or something like that. Some random, weird, crazy number.
Sometimes they're, like, until
you die.
The end of your natural born life or whatever that is.
So I'm wondering if, like, there was something here. Yeah, maybe the state, maybe just, like, the judge. Or just the county, I think, actually,
was
Massachusetts.
30 to life?
No, he was given life sentences.
Hmm. I feel like we should know this.
We should.
We're not lawyers.
We're not. We just played them on TV. So, he fights this. He's like, I'm going to serve these life sentences concurrently, not consecutively.
So, 10 years per death? If we're doing it that way?
Well, I'm thinking if it was a life sentence per person, it's 30 years per person.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be 90 years. In my brain. And then concurrently would be, he wants to only serve 30 years.
He can go fucking fuck himself.
I agree. He was denied this. They're like, no. Nice try, bud. However, he is now eligible for parole in 2032.
Hmm.
Which is in 8 fucking years.
How old will he be?
He was 18 in 1988.
He was born in 1970, didn't you say?
1970, yes.
1932?
Yeah, 2032. I think it's 62. No. 72.
Okay.
I think it's 72. Makes me math.
Well, on a calculator.
On a calculator.
62, you're right.
I was right.
Too young. 62 is too young.
62 is too young.
You can still be dangerous.
Yes.
At 62.
And this is a picture of him at his trial.
I thought you were going to show me a picture. He looks
like a kid.
What
he looks
I
like
imagine
a fucking
him
kid.
To look like.
Like that, and that's the thing. It's like, it's hard.
He looks scared.
I mean, he seemed like an impulsive idiot. He just, like, does really bad, impulsive shit.
He looks fucking scary.
He looks fucking scary. He does, for sure. Like, I think about, like, Annie, like, him showing up to that date.
Uh-huh.
You know?
And like, her being, like, gulp.
Like, okay. But okay, like...
And the fact that he didn't hurt her or her sister, like, they got so lucky.
They got so fucking lucky. I wonder if Brian, like, ever... didn't believe their kids ever again. His kids.
They're so lucky, that whole family.
Right. Just, I would constantly, I would constantly bring that up. Anytime my dad would be like, oh, well, I think you're being dramatic. You're like, oh, yeah?
Remember that
time? You remember the one time I was being dramatic?
That we,
quote unquote.
Well, yeah.
And there was someone living in our fucking crawl space in our walls.
I'm just wondering how he got in there.
In the crawl space.
But how do you get into a crawl space?
It was behind her dresser.
I know, but how did he get into the first place?
He broke into the house.
Through a window or a door?
I don't know.
Lock your fucking doors.
Lock your fucking doors is the moral of the story. In 1989,
Andrew Gustafson, the dad of the family that was sadly killed. He remarries a woman named Carol, who is also a widow. And they both wear two wedding bands.
Oh my goodness. I know.
It's so sad. And, like, this was kind of obviously to symbolize the marriage that they had both lost.
That's obviously. So sweet.
It's very sweet.
I'd like to know if they wore them on the same finger or if they wore them on the opposite hand.
I was wondering that, too. Probably opposite hand, I would imagine.
It's less.
But like, I can't imagine wearing, like, two wedding bands on one finger. I mean, I've never been married.
It's kind of a vibe.
Yeah. It's like a, or just like a Thanos.
Yeah, like stack them.
You have, well, it's like one in each finger. Mm-hmm. On one hand.
Oh, that's true.
You know? But that's a lot on one hand. Oh, wait. It's not four. It's two.
You thought it was four?
I was just imagining one person wearing two wedding male wedding bands and two female wedding bands. Like Thanos. I'm an idiot.
That's really sweet.
It's very sweet. Sorry. Yes. So they have two daughters together. They're named Holly and Laura.
So you've got two kids.
So he has two different kids, yes.
Jesus.
So Andrew leaves his law practice and begins working as a child advocate, which is very cool, I think. Mm-hmm. I think he saw kind of Daniel's story and he was like, okay. He's like, this kid obviously was very traumatized for a very long time. And like, it's the hurt people hurt people
these
thing.
These are the results
and of these are the results kind of it. Damage. And so he became a child advocate.
Wow.
Which, I mean, I gotta give anybody mm-hmm. who does, like, that type of, like, you come out of grief and you do that type of props, it's insane to me.
Wow.
Yeah. In 2014, Andrew Gustafson passes away from cancer, and he was 60 years old. So pretty young, fortunately.
Very young. Very young.
Yes. Yes. So I'm going to end this story with a statement from the National Organization of Victims of Juvenile Murderers.
Okay.
It's a thing. I didn't know until the story. Although Gustafson passed away in 2014, haunted by nightmares of the event, his feelings about seeking justice and the hope that Daniel LaPlante would never be released from prison were echoed by his second wife, Carol. She shared that he struggled to move forward with the trauma and carried the weight of that day throughout his life. Mm-hmm. And that is the story.
That's crazy.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
It's just so tragic and unnecessary.
Like, we started with, like, a horror movie mm-hmm. of someone living in your walls, and it ended up in, like, a true crime fucking case.
I know. We don't do a lot of true crime.
We don't.
Not too much.
I try not to.
I know. Jesus.
Isn't that fucking wild, though?
It's awful.
That poor family.
I know.
Like, honestly, everyone in this story just feels like a huge victim. Even Daniel. Mm-hmm. Like, just the trauma that happened to him, and then he just, like, you know, traumatized other people. It's a real fucking bummer.
It is. Lock your fucking doors.
Lock your fucking doors, please. Lock your doors, lock your windows.
Yeah.
Had your kids, had your wife.
And I'm trying to think how to say this nicely. There are still some people out there who do not realize how important it is to lock your doors.
Agreed.
And it just is very, very important to lock your doors. That's all.
Absolutely. It's like the lowest level of security you can have. Mm-hmm. Right? And unfortunately, we live in a world where we have to do that, no matter where you live. If you live in a small town and you think everything's safe and wonderful and beautiful, just...
And, like, most of the time it is.
Most of the time it is.
It's that one time. Like, what's the name of the guy? I want to say... God, I'm failing myself here.
Elaborate.
There is a famous serial killer uh-huh. who would break into people's homes and do terrible things to them. And the answer was, like, why these people... I felt like I was invited because they left the door unlocked.
Was that BTK?
I don't think it was BTK. I want to say it was like Richard
Ramirez? Like
Speck.
I know what you're talking about. I remember that interview. It wasn't Richard Ramirez or Speck?
Richard Chase.
There's
so many fucking Richards.
Too many Richards have entered this chat.
Yes, Richard Chase, the vampire killer.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That one's really bad.
He would only go into homes that were unlocked. So fucking lock your doors.
Fucking lock your door. Just do it, please. For us.
Yes, and for you.
And for you. If anything, just do it for us. We love you. We want you to be safe. It's really fucking scary. It's really fucking sad. Just crazy, crazy fucking case.
It was a twist. It was a twist. He really got me. I didn't know.
I can't believe I never heard of that one.
No.
Okay.
He got me.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't do a lot of true crime, but I do think true crime... I think there's a bit of a backlash against true crime. Mm-hmm. But I think true crime is kind of how people have educated themselves to be safer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially with women.
For sure.
Like, we just talk about things. We talk about these situations.
I think it's saved a lot of women's lives.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of been a part of the whole fuck politeness movement.
Yeah.
Because we're like, no, I'm not going to fucking be nice to you like Annie was and go on this date with you. Because I don't want to fucking do that.
Yeah.
Like, just no. I say no. No means no. I don't know.
The historical context of behavior patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, enable people to, like, create boundaries for themselves.
Yeah. I agree. Absolutely. And I think it's given women some... a bit of, like, collateral, maybe, I think is maybe the right word. Just to be like, you know what? No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I'm going to trust my gut.
Trusting your gut is such a big part of it, too. Because there's been so many stories where, like, women just, like, decide to go along with it.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, ended up being hurt in some, like, significant way or just, like, something bad happens and... they didn't listen to their gut and, like, just trust it, unfortunately. It's the world we live in.
Yeah, we can trust our lizard brain.
Trust that lizard brain. She's looking out for you.
Well, thank you for telling that terrible story.
That was a wild ride, right?
You got me. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
It's like, here we go, another fucking ghost story that I don't believe. Here we go. Spaghetti sauce. Okay.
Ooh, spaghetti.
It was truly terrifying.
Spooky spaghetti. Yeah, no, that's a wild one. Yeah, for sure. I knew it would get you.
Thanks.
Told you. Mm-hmm. But the next ones will be a little more spooky
season-esque.
Zach will make an appearance.
Oh, Christ.
You knew how...
The guy spells his name weird.
Z-A-K. I know.
It's a fucking douchey spelling. I cannot.
Listen. It is October. Give me this.
His name cannot be Baggins either.
Like Frodo?
Not for real. It's like a stage name.
You think?
Yes.
Like he like was a fan of Lord of the Rings?
Who knows?
Okay. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I don't know how people get these names.
All right. Well, thank you guys. We will talk to you next week. And lock your doors. And until next time,
stay grimly curious. Bye, bitch.
Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Grimly Podcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.